Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour. Joining me today is the producer of VFN Radio's program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
My goodness, if you missed the first hour, I think it's a prophecy. It is a word.
Definitely.
An anointed now word. You got to get it. We don't want to be like the first generation in the wilderness that didn't go in. We want to get in. We want to get in to the promised land. We're going to be talking about, in this extra hour, about a girl, 11 years old, that testified before a governmental board about marriage, a powerful two-minute statement that makes you want to sit up, and she even kind of rebuked these guys and listen to them. We're also going to be talking about, don't let it go to your head. Remember, what's begun in the spirit, you can only fulfill it in the spirit. You cannot fulfill it in the flesh. Get that out of your head. Also, we'll be talking about a move of God that's moving on the young people at Texas A&M, where thousands of students are gathering every Tuesday night going after God. And it's the true gospel. They're preaching the true gospel. The real deal. It's very, very exciting and so much more. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. L-I-G-H-T, light. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos. Oh, my. The Lord just kind of just took over in that first hour there, wouldn't you say?
Man, he sure did.
I mean, it's just on my heart. And, you know, I mean, because we all need to humble ourselves, it's just a fearful topic, you know, talking about pride, because you're thinking, okay, all righty. I'm the next example. It's fixing to come up, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why nobody's like, let's not talk about it today. It was amazing. Right. But you know what? I don't want it to cost us what God has for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to lose the blessing of God. Listen, we're about to lose the country. Not because of politics, because of the church. This is what came first in America is the kingdom of God. The United States of America, not the land. Obviously the First Nation people here. But what came first in regards to the United States of America, the nation that God blessed and uplifted, was the kingdom of God. It was the pilgrims that came because they were looking for a place to worship God freely, because where they were, the king put himself over the church. The queen put herself over the church. They thought they were the head of the church, and so they just merged the church and the government, and they put themselves over it. And if you switched your church membership from the Church of England to another church outside the Church of England, they called that treason, and you would lose your head. They would decapitate you. They would put you in stocks. They would put you in dungeons, and you would be made an example. And when they wrote the Constitution in America about separation of they didn't write, what they wrote about was that the government shall make no laws concerning the church. You're saying, King, mm-hmm. we've learned from you. Mm. Keep your hands off the church. It wasn't church, keep your hands off the government. It was like, because church is, this is, you know, listen, I know it's a beautiful building, and if it's raining, I'll go in there with you, and God's moving, I'm right in there with you. But understand, even though it has beautiful carpet and beautiful chairs or pews, depending on how you think you need to, you know, even if it has Bose speakers all around your ears, and PowerPoint slides everywhere, which are really cool, and I am a PowerPoint person. And even if your worship leader has the most moose anybody ever thought about in his forehead sticking straight up, which is cool, whatever, you know, if he's got the gift, let it rip for Jesus, that the building is not the church.
Mm-mm.
Quit calling it the church. You're the church. And the reason why God shows up in that building is because you are there. Listen, we redefine what the church is, and now they're using it against us. They're actually saying you have to be that building over there, or that organization, or that corporation, and now we minimize the church by calling it that instead of calling it you.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But the reason why we call it that instead of you is because then the Bible doesn't apply to me. It applies to that organization, to that building. You know, when he says, you know, you shouldn't have any idols in the temple, we could go, that's right, you need to clean that foyer out. I can't believe that you're selling CDs in that foyer. It's like, oh my.
Really?
Oh my goodness. First of all, this is the download days. You know, that's like an 8-track talking like that this generation. Yeah, but right. Listen, he's talking about the CDs being sold in your heart. He's talking about the idols in your heart. We have to redefine things. If we can get the right definition, if we can get the right definition, if we can get the right definition back in the hearts of the church of what the church is, again, it will help them apply the very same constitution, the very same constitution. We don't have to change nothing. And they'll realize, oh my goodness, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're the church. And if two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, your king's name, he's ruling in your midst. So you better stay away from us if you're in the coffee shop with a couple of you. They feared coming amongst their number in the colonnades outside because God was with them. This stuff saying that somebody was in my church for 6 months and they didn't even know it was a church. What the heck are you doing? I mean, God even says, they'll say peace, peace, and then sudden destruction. Right before the worst things happen, normally we as man are at our worst point of pride and blindness and just stupidity. And we're shocked. We're shocked. Walking in all of a sudden, it's like, I don't have a job. Right? I was shocked, right? Mm-hmm. Well, how was my plans? You know, we don't have a country. This thing that called the Constitution's gone. Think about it. It's gone. The house that God gave me's gone. They're throwing me out. They put like don't enter tape on my door. It's my house. No, they were letting you stay in it. That's why they get the bailout money to the banks, because it really wasn't your house. The bank actually owned your house. That's why they gave it there. Listen, this is very important. This is not about anything, any kind of weird stuff, or no matter where the church is, the same word of God applies to the church. The same expectations of Jesus is always the same. So there's no such thing as like, oh, we're this kind of church or we're that kind of church. Listen, you're only the church if you follow Jesus and his ways. You know what I'm saying? And so it doesn't matter if you're meeting in a big, huge crystal building, you know, which is bright. You know, or if you're meeting at a coffee shop or under oak tree in Africa somewhere in the northern or the Malawi. It's the same word of God. It's the same thing. So it doesn't, you can't say because I meet in a building, this is how it is, or I meet in a smaller building, this is how it is, or I meet in a house, this is how it is, or we meet in a coffee shop. Listen, it's the same Bible. It's the same God. Get over that. Understand this. We as Christians are the church. We're the, don't you know that God's Spirit dwells inside of you? You have to own this. If not, they're going to redefine you and minimize you and put you in bondage. Sorry. Your freedom is to worship God freely and openly is going to be put into some cave somewhere or be like training that was happening in China where they had to literally train their church how to jump out of a second story window. That was part of training as a church. So if somebody was going to come and raid them and say, because they were worshiping God, that you had to learn how to jump out of a second-story roof, a window, and roll. They teach them how to roll out. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine American church kid? You're going to need to jump out of the top of the mega building. No. You're going to have to land in the bushes. That shrub, don't land on this shrub because that's like that thorny, hollow, you know, leaf thing. You land in this shrub over here. Right? Can you imagine? It's like, oh, my goodness, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Like, who turned the thermostat down 1 degree? You know? You preach for 16 minutes. 16 minutes. When we hired you, Mr. Hireling, we told you that you teach for 15 minutes, and that's it. Don't you understand? There's ball games and lazy boys, and this is my time to relax. I want to be able to do my penance and get home. Do my penance and spend my penance. But the thing is, listen, if we keep defining it as that building and the organization, you know what? They're going to say, cool. We'll regulate that building and the organization because that's not the church. Mm. And all of a sudden, you don't have any rights at all. You're just this. What are you doing? Get in that building over there, like the 3C church in China, right? Get in that building over there. Get in that building. You hear Indonesia, they're fighting to get recognized. Be in a building. It's like, oh, don't, please. I mean, you know, I'm not, no, I love large gatherings, and it's not a building conversation. It's about the building of the church, which is you, the person. But if you think you're legitimate because you're in a building, how many people just think, he's like, what are you, that's demonic what you're doing in that building. You know, it's like, that building doesn't make you a church. You know, it's your building. What you're doing in your heart makes you the church. You know, what you're doing, that's the church. That makes sense. It's like, if I just get me a building and a sign. Yeah, just because you got a fish on your sign doesn't mean you have a fish in your heart. Don and I went to a particular church in Denmark, and ancient church in Denmark, and where they buried the dead in the church. Gosh. The saints, they would bury them in the floors of the church, and they had one area that had like steel bars on it and had a devil on it, and you had to go by in there, and you walk down a couple steps, and these were the ones that went to hell. They would put them in.
Oh my god!
We walked in that thing, you couldn't even breathe. There was so much death in there. There was such a spirit of death in this place that I couldn't even breathe. I couldn't breathe. My spirit was just, I couldn't. We had to walk out of there because we're literally, the devil had that building and that place there. And this is, you know, ancient situation. Right. And it's like, it doesn't matter what you meet in. Hopefully it's something nice. Hopefully something keeps you warm in the winter and cool in the summer and keeps the rain off of you. And, you know, the older you get, the more you appreciate cushions and stuff. And I hope the music's good that stirs up your heart, that causes you to worship God. But the thing is, you're the church. You're the church. And they're about to redefine us. They're redefining everything. They're about to redefine us. The church is deathly silent. They're redefining Israel as we speak. Our president went to Israel and tried to redefine them by the younger generation and saying, listen, we are basically a worldly culture. We're carnal. This religious stuff, you know, we need to just minimize all this stuff of your fathers, you know, as the last generation is passing on.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to force change to happen. It's time for us, you know, I don't mind you doing your religious thing and all of that, but, you know, let's just be who we are and minimize your beliefs and your faith and all that. And they're like, yay! It's like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And so, this is kind of connecting to the first hour. I mean, you can probably listen. It might make more sense to you, I guess. But you've got to own the definition of the church. If you don't, you're going to lose it. It's not that you're not going to be it, but they're not going to let you be it.
Mm.
They're going to say it's that building. They're going to say it's the building. Now, you can be in the building, but knowing that God's in there because you're in there.
Right.
You didn't walk into God. You didn't walk into a building. God was here, you know. Mm-hmm. God's everywhere. God is everywhere at the same time. And if you're a believer, God is in you. And it's important to realize that. When you see all these miracles and everything being stirred, understand that's because the faith in those people, the kingdom began to get stirred inside their heart. They had faith to begin to get stirred.
Mm.
You know, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. And so their belief in God and their belief that God can heal them when they touch the hem of this garment or that thing, God meets their faith and meets their need. Don't exalt yourself to say, you know, get out of here. That's God doing that. Mm-hmm. It's about God. Tommy Tenney said, you know, God's got this interesting idea. He feels that church is what? About him.
Him.
And it, by the way, if that's a good deal, if you don't know that or not, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But he's awesome also to be feared.
Hmm.
And he doesn't mind not only humbling us, but he don't mind humiliating us,
right,
using us as an example, right? He's like, great. Yes, I know. Okay. You know, so he's like, here goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't mind. But I just feel like, you know, God's speaking to me and I'm seeing things I don't want to see. And we got to quit. Who am I to say anything other than yes, Lord? But I'll pray, God, that your people will listen, that they'll humble themselves, that the chatter of the hearts would stop, and that we would say thank you for the blessing, that we would truly live a life for you, God, and not for ourselves, that we would deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow you. Lord, I don't want to be written over my epitaph that my generation didn't go in because we were prideful. Lord, give us grace to go in. Lord, wake up your church, God. We know you can. You brought a second great awakening to this nation on horseback with no technology. And today, one thing happens, and it's around the world within hours. But we know not only a third great awakening for America, but the world can awaken in a moment. In a moment where, Lord, we know that we can be speaking to nations and calling nations in to repentance. We know this, Lord. We know at one moment your spirit can move across the hearts of every nation where they'll huddle around their televisions and their media devices and their computers, and they would listen and hunger, Lord. I pray, Lord, stir the hunger for you, God, and your voice and your presence in the hearts of your people, God. Give a holy dissatisfaction to the things of this life and the things of this world to your people, God. Dear God, save us, God. Deliver us from ourselves, God. Hear our prayers. We'll be right back in a moment. I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to, and not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today, and God's bringing people to Himself. And you know, basically, people that have been inside something are heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, need to go where God is calling you, and that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function, and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but He won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God. You can go back and watch that on BFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too,
mm-hmm.
who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits. And these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ, you loved each other, you ate together, you blessed each other, you blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name. And it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go, and there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me. So I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, helping him or her carry that load. And I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together. And just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I am your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. Obviously, something's burning in my heart. But John, talk to us about Texas A&M, man.
Well, man, God is moving in Texas.
Oh, my goodness. It's awesome.
Man, they are set on fire out there at Texas A&M, just ministry, breakaway ministries. And they've been ministering out to college students on the campus. This campus, by the way, has 50,000 students. It's like the sixth largest campus in the country. Mm. And 10,000 students are gathering in this move of God. In fact, I want you to listen to this from CBN News as they report what is happening on the campus of Texas A&M. Listen up.
Well, a few kids get together in a dorm room and they study the Bible. Well, that's nice. Big deal. Well, 25 years ago, that's what happened at Texas A&M. And then suddenly, that little Bible study expanded to 10,000 students, one-fifth of the entire student body. And the Bible study is called Breakaway. So we asked our reporter, David Brody, if he would be good enough to go down to Texas A&M to see what in the world was going on.
This is a typical Tuesday night in College Station. Thousands of students meet at the Texas A&M basketball arena for worship, prayer, and Bible teaching.
I went to Breakaway on the first Tuesday night, and it completely rocked my world. I had never in my life just instantly felt that close to thousands of people. It was just, I mean, it was amazing.
Breakaway Ministries is a non-denominational Bible study. Its mission is to introduce college students to Jesus Christ and call them to walk with him for a lifetime. Their passion seems contagious, and it's having what you might call a domino effect.
There's so many things that I could sit here and like list out for you that the Lord is doing here. And I'm on this whole retrospective look thing of what's been going on here. And I can't even describe it fully what's happening here. Like I said, we're changing the world on this campus.
Well, you know the saying that everything is bigger in Texas. Well, it includes the Bible studies as well. 10,000 people have shown up at these Bible studies on Texas A&M's campus. That's one-fifth of the entire student population. Breakaway wasn't always this big. It began in 1989 when 12 A&M students met in an apartment to pray and seek to know God through his word. Bible study grew over the years, and now students across the country are talking about it.
Well, I met a lot of different students from different campuses and whatnot across the nation. And I tell them I'm from Texas A&M, and immediately they know about Breakaway. They're like, oh, so you go to Breakaway? And I'm like, yeah, I volunteer out there. And it's kind of sad that I don't know what kind of ministries they have at their school.
Executive Director Ben Stewart graduated from A&M in 1998.
John wants to bring some severity to us, and he says, hey, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. He will present the world and the Father as two opposite things, two opposing things. You can't have both. They're antithetical.
Stewart says Breakaway Ministries is not designed to replace the local church. Leaders encourage students to find a church home and get together on Tuesday nights for campus community. Many students keep coming back because they say Stewart's teachings really connect with them on a heart level, like his series on staying pure before marriage.
He broke the Song of Solomon and related it into every aspect of dating, from the very first time that you meet all the way until marriage and beyond. And he just elaborated on how it was the Christian example that God had given us to be able to follow in the Bible.
No matter how much they like the teaching or enjoy the worship or how big the crowds get, students told me the same thing. God alone is doing something special on their campus.
There's something to be said about Breakaway. It's like if God were to move away from Breakaway, it would cease to exist. Ben usually says, you know, we have 10,000 that come to Breakaway and there's 40,000 more that don't. You know, there's always efforts to reach out and spread God's word.
The ministry also sponsors an international outreach called the Shalom Project. Last year, students raised more than $100,000 to rescue children from sex trafficking. These students say there's no stopping what God can do through them, and they plan to take the gospel to the ends of the earth.
As an Aggie, you are a part of something bigger than yourself. That is sort of our motto. It's how we treat each other. It's how we live our lives day to day. And so for Breakaway to be such a prominent part, it all makes sense because what we do at Breakaway is it's all about glorifying God. It's really about spreading the gospel and, you know, showing that Jesus moves and that he loves everyone.
David Brody, CBN News in College Station, Texas.
Is that wonderful? Oh, my goodness. God is moving in Texas.
Yes. Texas.
They say, you know, statistically, college age adults are that age range in their 20s. Young 20s is when a lot of them are challenged and are leaving their walk with God and they're being drawn into the ways of the world.
80%. They say 80% are actually leaving the church at that age. It was 80.
Yeah. I mean, I can identify with that. I know what happened on a college.
The thing
campus.
Is, they're leaving the building.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, obviously, we don't need to hold people accountable to leaving a building versus, you know, are they really leaving the church? Mm-hmm. You know, based on what's going on today.
Well, based upon what's happening on a lot of college campuses, I would say they probably left the building and are leaving, you know, God too.
Yeah.
Because there's so much stuff that's happened, so much sin and evil, and it's just horrible. I mean, I know my own personal experiences myself, but just to see what God is doing on that campus is so encouraging. And they're changing the world. I mean, college students raising $100,000 to help children that have been sold into sex slave. I mean, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
So very, very encouraging. Wanted to share that with everybody today.
Yeah, and you can see, you're going to be able to see that video that, yes, that you just heard on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch and see these students, these young students. And I love what he said. I loved everything they said. But one thing they said was that if God doesn't show up, Breakaway won't be here.
Yeah.
And that's always our desire. He's like, we have just enough structure to do what we're doing, but if God was to take his hand off, it would just fall apart.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because you don't want so many supports around you that God could leave you and you won't know it for 10 years.
Right.
Mm. Got to keep this thing going. It's like, yeah, wasn't it about God in the first place?
Right. Yeah. Didn't Moses say, if you don't go, I'm not going, right?
He's the only thing that differentiates us from anybody else is his presence, and that's what he wants us to want him. That is so encouraging. You got to see this. This is Breakaway Ministries in Texas A&M. And he said, you know, they have 10,000, but he's saying, like, you know, we still have 40,000 more we need to be. I love that. That's just so beautiful.
50,000 students. Yeah. Amazing.
And one other thing that I really liked, I mean, did you hear what he said? Mm-hmm. He preached the word of God.
Yeah. Right.
And what the part that I heard, he's like, you can't be friends with the world and friends with God. They're the opposites. Do you hear that? You don't hear that today.
Mm-mm.
And you definitely don't hear that. And that's what young people want. People want to be all in.
Yeah.
They're not into this, you know, a little bit of a religious behavior and then live like the world. They like, you know, pick one. And the thing they're picking what a lot of their folks are doing, but they're just picking one side of what their folks are doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they want to be for something. They want to give their life for something. They're ready to even go join the Peace Corps and do things like this. They just want that. And the thing is, that's what God's put inside of them, and that's what the church is supposed to be like no matter how long you've been in God. Mm-hmm. And he talks about, you know, leaving your first love. If you don't repent from the heights which you've fallen, he's talking to the church of Ephesus, then it's not going to end well for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're not going to just all of a sudden, somebody says, you just need to calm down a little bit. You'll eventually, it's like, no, pour gas on their fire. You
that's
know,
right.
Put wood under them, stoke them, encourage them. They're going to need mentors and people that have walked in the faith that helps them, you know, go further and last longer and stay healthier in what's taking place. I'm excited about this generation because I truly believe that it's going to be, we've talked to this generation, this past generation. I think this next generation is going to raise up and sad to say, much of it is fatherless and much of it is parentless mm-hmm. in regards to that role part of it. But you know what? God is the father of us all. And God's going to begin to heal that. We're going to see Jesus before the great and dreadful day the Lord comes, he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. John, you know, today the U.S. Supreme Court is meeting on a case where they're going to be defining in the Supreme Court, instead of just giving it to the people and state by state,
mm-hmm.
about marriage. You know, what is marriage going to be? Is marriage going to be between a man and a woman? Is marriage going to be between a man and a man? Is marriage going to be between a woman and a woman? Is marriage going to be between a man and, you know, five women? You know, their definition of marriage today, as a matter of fact, listen to CBN News reporting about what's taking place as the Supreme Court begin to meet about defining marriage.
In Washington, D.C., people have been waiting all night in the rain and cold, hoping to get a front row seat to history. Today, the Supreme Court begins two full days examining same-sex marriage, looking at it from both state and federal levels. The court's decision could fundamentally alter one of the foundations of American society and bring unexpected consequences. John Jessup explains.
The first case is a challenge to California's 2008 voter-approved ballot measure known as Proposition 8. It defines marriage as between a man and a woman and effectively bans gay marriage. The second looks at the Defense of Marriage Act, which only recognizes marriages as the union of one man and woman under federal law.
I probably should put it right there.
For Jessica Chipoco and Lindsay Dawson, the Supreme Court hearings are personal. They're getting legally married this weekend in Maryland, and they already foresee challenges.
Okay, so on this tax return, I'm married. On this tax return, I'm single. Well, we're going to do a joint, you know, at the state level. We'd just be, like, on the same page as we are in the state that we live in. If the federal government can, you know, extend that same right to us.
But both say they're hopeful.
And I just think it's incredibly moving. I think it's a really exciting time, personally, because I'm excited to marry Jessica. But it's exciting in that you can feel the country shifting.
And the public is moving in their direction. Polls show most Americans now approve of same-sex marriage, with younger people supporting it and older people opposed.
So we see strong divisions among older Democrats and older Republicans, but when we look at millennials, that's Americans under the age of 30, we actually see the partisan differences diminishing.
Still, some conservatives, like Ryan Anderson, are trying to turn the tide. Co-author of the book, What is Marriage?, Anderson filed a friend of the court brief defending traditional marriage, arguing that marriage is already in crisis, threatening society, kids, and the family unit.
Same-sex attracted Americans are not to blame for the problem that we face in America right now. But the question we have to ask is, do we want to double down on the mistakes of the past 40 years? Or do we want to start recovering a more sound understanding of what marriage is and why it matters?
Anderson and others worry that legalizing same-sex marriage could have serious consequences, like redefining marriage altogether and possibly leading to polygamy or even group marriages with multiple partners. Also, same-sex marriage could hurt religious freedoms if churches, religious organizations, and businesses have to support whatever the government defines as a marriage or possibly face government action. But Anderson believes there's hope for supporters of traditional marriage. Just as the pro-life movement made its case for years and changed public opinion, Anderson believes marriage supporters can do the same, with young people understanding the value of the traditional family as they grow older.
40 years later, my generation is now more pro-life than my parents' generation. And the same thing is true with the marriage. We're just starting this discussion about marriage.
These cases have the potential to settle the issue once and for all. Supporters of same-sex marriage hope the justices will rule in favor of equality and halt the debate, while opponents say, whatever the decision, they've only just begun their defense. John Jessup, CBN News, the Supreme Court.
It's so important to understand and remember, just like you said, that where we are right at this moment in America is not because of those who have same-sex attraction.
Yeah.
That's not the issue. The issue is the church.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is the church. Most abortions, statistics report that most abortions that have been taking place are happening by women who profess, and men, I guess, I don't know, but they actually record the woman's faith, that she's a religious woman. She says that she's a Christian. You know, Protestant women, you know, and it's the church. So, you know, the issue that we're facing right now is sin in the church. It's us, you know, where he says, when these things begin to happen, if my people who are called by my name, well, 50% of our marriages are ending in divorce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can we tell the world how to be married when we're out of order?
Mm.
We're totally out of order. We don't have no right to criticize people in the world when we're, first of all,
it's embarrassing.
Well, it's only embarrassing, but it's not our place to judge people in the world. It's in the church. That's our focus. That's our focus. And all of a sudden, you know, this is a nation's founded on Judeo-Christian values, but it's not the kingdom of God. You know, it's us. The Lamb was blessed because the church did what they did in the beginning. And so we got to get our marriage. You have wives ruling over their husbands while they're marching down the street criticizing same-sex marriage and attraction. It's like, you're out of order, ma'am. You are not speaking on behalf of the kingdom of God. I'm sorry. You can't walk all over your family and your husband and even in front of God and your kids and sit here and tell the world how, just because you found somebody the opposite gender, you think God's like pleased with you? 50% end in divorce.
Wow.
80% of second time marriages end in divorce. 75% of children in America are without fathers. Listen, this is Grace Evans. She's 11 years old. We come back from the break. You got to hear her. She's talking before a government body, a young girl talking about, you know, her perspective of her mother and her father and marriage. It really just touches your heart and just makes you want to be brave like her. Vine Fellowship Network University, vfnu.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, he will normally call a people out from what he presently are in the past established, so you can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, right, you know. But either way, it's for our generation, you know. And at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow, because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. It's or the suggestion. It's the Great Commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass. I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God, and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the word of God, that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves. And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that is, you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. You know, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, especially the American board business mindset, that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but it's not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how it controls God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. And the, you know, there's biblical daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in his word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU that it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifest in your life, and we want to see you in the Great Commission. We want to, we're in agreement with you. Find out more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to vfntv.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. vfntv.com. Click podcasts.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com. And click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John and a wrinkle-headed John over here. I like that. That's good. That's good.
You like that?
Oh, I
do. Isn't that interesting?
Love them.
Yeah, just grab a pot and bang
so
on
eclectic.
It. You know, wake me
so
up.
So eclectic. There you
stay.
Go.
Oh, yeah, yeah, man. I really
eclectic.
Am. You know, well,
except when it comes to the stuff we like.
No, I actually do. I do. You're getting old. He listens to, you know, he was Dan. He.
I like the
he sat me down.
Reel on the steel. I like his jammies there.
He sat down. You know, he's like sitting me down and he says, you got to see this. You got to see this. So I'm sitting on his couch and he turns on his television, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you hear this guy go, and welcome to the. I'm like, that's Lawrence Welk. That's Lawrence Welk. He's been around forever. That's like old news. You know what I'm saying? You know? Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. The Lawrence Welk Show. Today, the Lawrence Welk dancers. Bop, 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 bop. Yeah, right? Right. No.
You hear this?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, no, unbelievable. He's raised up his I don't know. He's got some skills there.
He doesn't listen to what he used to listen to anymore.
No, I don't.
Yeah, it's just grown. Like, oh, it's all like real slow,
some
easy
of
listening and all that. He's trying to keep his blood pressure down.
You know, yes.
He's got some responsibilities, big ones now. Some huge ones. And he's like, I need just peace, quiet, you know.
A bigger.
One and a two and a three. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, you know, we're just talking about, you know, what's taking place today is the Supreme Court is meeting to be able to decide, you know, what God already decided years ago.
Hmm.
And, but yet we were saying that, you know, people are yelling at people who have same-sex attraction and they're yelling at the politicians. And they're yelling at the church now. Is yelling at the world and blaming the world. So listen, that is not the issue. Jesus never said that was the issue. Paul never said that was the issue. They never tried to change the world. They never tried. They just said, do you want to follow me? And the ones that said yes, it was those folks. It was us,
that's
the
right.
Church.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, you know what? And even those that have same-sex attraction and all that different stuff, they will benefit from you just obeying me. You don't have to point at them. They don't have to integrate. I'm just listen, it's between me and you. It's not between them. And so you have these people, you know, living over here with in sexual sin, saying they're Christians, but they're living with somebody the opposite sex, criticizing somebody who's not even saying they're a Christian, not even saying they're following God, and they have same sex. It's like, what do you listen? This is not going to end well. We're, you know, we've all sinned and we've all fallen short. It's just not going to end well, you know. And I was just talking about, you know, marriage being out of order, and I was saying, you know, ma'am, you can't rule over your husband and your children and keep saying that God's changed and we've evolved. But I want to say on this side, sir, you can't sit there and be seduced by your work, by your PMS, power, money, and sex, sitting here all night long on your internet saying your email. So much. You can't even spell email. You're in there clicking through stuff you should not even be looking at, and you need to just repent. Listen, we've all searched and fallen short of the glory of God, but you can stop. You can say, you know what? This is the enemy trying to take me down, and I got to get back in authority in my home again and begin to walk in authority. Listen, that was all set up to take you out your place. And you can't sit here and criticize your wife when you're not even leading. And so the whole family needs to get in order again. And no, children, you're never supposed to rule over your parents. You're never supposed to criticize your mother or father. You're supposed to honor them. I'm talking to the church.
No matter what the president says.
Yeah, no matter what the president says, mm-hmm. You know. And I was just thinking about Sasha Malia. I'm like, would you want somebody talking to Sasha Malia like that?
Mm.
You would be upset with them. You'd be totally upset with them. But maybe they've already organized. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Well, he receives counsel from them.
Yeah, maybe Sasha Malia has already organized, and that's what's really going on. Either way, but so this 11-year-old girl's testifying before a government body. You got to hear Grace Evans. I mean, it's about 2 minutes, but it's just powerful. She's speaking from her perspective of 11-year-old, what all of us adults are talking about. Listen up.
Ms. Evans, please introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Grace Evans, and I want to thank you for letting me speak today. Even though I'm only 11 years old, I know that everyone deserves to have a mom and a dad. If you change the law that says two moms or two dads could get married, it would take away something very important for children like me across the state. My mom is very important to me because she teaches me about things about being a girl. She is kind, thoughtful, gentle, and beautiful. She cares for me and others and listens very well to things I want to talk to her about. I am learning from her to be a good woman, wife, and mother someday. Even though I learned some of these things from my dad, my mom teaches them in a very special way. Without my mom, it would be very hard for me to learn them. She is my role model on how to be a girl, and I love her very much. My dad is also very important to me because he protects me and helps me get the confidence to be a girl who is growing up to be a woman. He takes care of problems in a way that my mom cannot. Just like my mom wouldn't be able to be the woman she is without my dad, I wouldn't be able to be the woman I want to be without my dad. Because he is strong, wise, and different than my mom, I learn things from him that I would not be able to learn in the same way from my mom. Since every child needs a mom and a dad to be born, I don't think we can change that children need a mom and a dad. I believe God made it that way. I know some disagree, but I want to ask you this question. Which parent do I not need, my mom or my dad?
You got to understand, she's looking at him. She asked the question, and then she's looking at this government body around her, and she's waiting for the answer. She's got her hand in her cheek. She's sitting there listening. Now listen to what she does next.
I'll ask again, which parent do I not need, my mom or my dad?
These grown folk are answering. They're not saying one thing. You're looking at you're probably looking at 15 adults, men and women, governmental people. They're listening. And they're not even answering an 11-year-old child.
Can't answer.
Can't answer.
Wow.
Now she's looking, she's eyeing every one of them.
She's proud.
Every single one of them. But she says, why not answer the child? Why would you not hear either one, right? But listen to what she does.
I hope that you can see that every child needs a mom and a dad. Please don't change your law on marriage to say otherwise. Thank you for letting me speak today.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Evans.
Isn't that something? You know, this young 11-year-old child, and not one of the governmental bodies, you know, said, honey, we want you to have both of your parents. Because they didn't want to be a news clip on CNN News.
Nope.
They didn't want to see where they actually would decide one way or the other. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, For a while there, you know, the information machine has been going on for so long that you start thinking like, well, yeah, everybody should have constitutional rights. Yeah, you know, that's right. And you think, then you pause for a moment, like, everybody always has had constitutional rights.
Right.
It's like, but you can believe that they weren't even there. And then you go, wait a minute, we did.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to create new laws and it's a new thing, but everybody had the same constitutional rights. They've been there. And but the thing is this. This is what Jesus, this is what God says in his word. When you start seeing things going wrong, when you start seeing your economy crashing, when you start seeing people that are just locked up and it just seems like they're on the crazy cycle and they're your leaders, and you see your crops not happening, your prices are going up, and your water reservoirs are drying up, and your prices are going up on stuff and things. He says, listen, when this happens, understand that I'm allowing this to happen. Look up. Look up, repent. Realize everybody's experiencing that because of you. My people are not walking right before me. And repent. You can't fix the church by fixing the world, but you can fix the world by fixing the church. But you can't fix the church until you fix the individual believer who decides to do what's right. It starts with you, sir. It starts with you, ma'am. It starts with you, child. It starts with somebody willing to be like these kids and break away and just preach the word, believe the word, teach the word just like it is. And realize when you do, every one of us find out that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short, and we all need Jesus. Yeah. But we need him to forgive us of our sins, to go and empower us not to continue to walk in sin. And if mm-hmm. we do sin, it's something we don't want to do. It's not something that's premeditated. And he forgives us and empowers us to be able to walk that walk that we never could have walked before. Listen, that we are in the, God is showing me, America is about to be, is about to fall. As this way, as we know it, America, as we know, obviously the land was here before, you know, everybody began to come to this land. And it'll be here after everybody leaves this land. And so I'm talking about that. I'm talking about America, the United States of America, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That America, the America that says that you have a First Amendment right that says that you can worship God freely, you can gather freely, and the government shall make no laws concerning you. The America that says you have the right to bear arms, and they cannot do anything to infringe upon your right to be able to bear arms and even to gather in a militia and even replace, you know, something that you may have to replace. And your Fourth Amendment rights where people can't search you without a warrant for that search and be able to spell it out and swear to it, that you can't, you don't have to testify against yourself. If somebody's accusing you of something, they have to go ahead and prove their point. You just sit back and watch it. And you have right to a jury of your peers, not just some, you know, kangaroo court in some land somewhere that some back room or some staircase where they're saying you're guilty. In America, that's a constitutional right. And that's given to us because God allowed us to have it. He says, listen, when I bless a nation and I rise it up, I'll do it. But listen, if it goes wrong, if it turns from me, I'll take it down. I'll take that nation down. And the blessing, I intended for it. And people think because God intended something for America, it's always going to be.
Right.
But he's like, the blessing I intended for it, I'll take it away. I'll take it away. Yes, God has brought us here. But if we turn our backs on him, no matter what the future projections were for Saul,
yeah,
it's going to be over.
That's it.
It's going to be over. It's going to be over. And you're looking at tyranny. You're looking at crime. You're looking at bondage. You're looking at lack. And you're looking at struggle. You're looking at struggle.
It's amazing how the church lives without this knowledge of who God is and what he hasn't done. I was just reading in Genesis about Noah and the times of Noah and how God said he was going to deal with this people and deal with the earth and the people. He was going to destroy it.
Right.
That's serious. Yes, this is God.
And the key to it is our humility. The key to it is we're going to have to humble ourselves inside and out. This is possible. It can be done, but it will happen at the cross of Christ. No longer does it need to be a religious figure. Jesus needs to be the Lord and the King and the Savior of your life. When he says jump, you say how high. Mm-hmm. When he says move, you say how soon. When he says switch, and you say switched. He is the Lord of your life. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com.